Titus 2, 7 through 8. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, i.e., example. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. This verse encourages us to demonstrate goodness in every aspect of our life by teaching and modeling what is right. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. This verse emphasizes that even youthfulness, and we know this congregation is blessed with so many who are young, that shouldn't be a reason for others to look down on you. Instead, you too have the opportunity to be a positive role model on all of us. Specifically, Strong's Dictionary talks about translating several Greek words. I'm going to focus on two. The first one is tupos. This word can mean a pattern or a model. The second word is hupodigma, and that signifies, I'll correct you later, that signifies a copy or a representation, and it can serve as a pattern or a model to be imitated. Clearly, we all have a pretty good grasp of what it is to be an example. It goes on to highlight the word ensample, which is the same as example, suggesting goodness. Example reflects essential qualities in Christianity. So in order to learn more about teaching by example, we're going to look at a few components of example. First, we're going to establish that example is important. We know it's important in our world, but God says example is important, and God knows that this is the way we learn. Then we're going to discuss why it is that example should be based on integrity. We're going to further discuss how example is imitation. And finally, we're going to finish by discussing how example leads to influence. So notice it's a play on eyes. I just want y'all to be able to encode the four eyes. After we discuss these points, we're going to discuss some practical ways to be an example. Side note, fast side note. First draft of this legitimately was close to 50 pages. I've been combing it down. I want to tell y'all that I just want to put this disclaimer out. Had a little bit of a difficult time separating being an example and acts of service. And my thought process is they're completely intertwined. So at some point, if it gets a little convoluted, I apologize for that. Just like it. So, point number one, example is important. Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. There is account after account in God's word in which we learn by example. We learn faith and obedience in the account of Noah in Genesis 3:13 through 21. We learn about faith and steadfastness in Job 13:15, specifically that reads, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. We learn about having a specific type of heart after reading about David, but seeing again how sin can enter one's life through weakness and temptation. And we actually heard about that a couple of nights ago during the gospel meeting. And within that, I'm referring to Bathsheba. We learn about David's repentance in Psalms 51. We can get into the psalm and understand more about how David had a complete change of heart for his sinfulness. Now, within the New Testament, we learn about baptism and the importance of it through the example that we read about Philip and the eunuch. We also learn about the church in Corinth and their immorality in 1 Corinthians 5:1-5. We read about the account of the prodigal son and his repentance in Luke 15:17-20. I know that's a list of examples, but guys, the list of examples throughout the entire Bible is just exhaustive. The fact of the matter is God knows, God knew, this is the way, this is the most effective way for us to learn. There's a known psychologist, and you psychology majors are going to know who this is, Albert Bandura. He has done major research on something called social learning theory. Specifically, the key points to this theory is that humans, learn through, and ironically enough, animals, learn through observation, imitation, and modeling. Well, God, being the omniscient one, as I kind of already have stated, he knew this even way before Bandura. But we're going to look at learning through this perspective or through this lens very quickly. The first component was observation. In order to get a clearer understanding of this, we're going to briefly discuss the account of Ruth and Naomi. In chapter 1, we read that Naomi lost her husband and was left with her two sons in Moab that went on to marry Orpah and Ruth. Naomi lost her two sons, and Ruth, Naomi, and Orpah returned to Judah. And it was during this time, specifically in verse 8, that Naomi tells Ruth and Orpah to return to their mother. Orpah decides to do this, but Naomi decides that she doesn't want to do this, specifically in verses, in Ruth 1, 16 through 17, Ruth says, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts you and me." It is likely that Ruth observed Naomi's faith, her strength, her determination to return to her people, just to name a few. These observations likely influenced her decision to stay with Naomi and embrace God and her people. So in this biblical example, Ruth observed Naomi, and these observations showed Ruth that she wanted to follow in the footsteps, if you will, of Naomi, and in turn it brought Ruth to get closer to God. The second component of this theory is that of imitation. Regarding imitation, we can look at the New Testament accounts of Paul, who directly discusses imitations. To the church in Philippi, in Philippians 3, verse 17, it reads, "Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern." In 1 Corinthians 11, 1, it reads, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." And in 1 Timothy 4:12, which I read earlier, Paul encourages Timothy to be a good example, knowing that others will learn from observing and imitating his behavior, which in turn was that of Christ's behavior. So through these biblical examples, we can clearly see that learning through imitation is a key component of learning altogether. The last component to this theory is that of modeling. Modeling and imitation actually are pretty close, just very, very small differentiations. If y'all will turn to Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 7, is where I'm going to be reading from. And this reads, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Here we read about how important it is for parents to not only intentionally teach the gospel to their children by instruction, but also to live the gospel by their behaviors and by their speech. Now, let's switch things just a little bit and look at a biblical example of modeling from a negative perspective. 1 Corinthians 10, 6 reads, "Now the faith became our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." Finally, and most importantly within this, God sent Jesus to be a living example for all. 1 Peter 2, 21 through 25, I suggest that you can read. I'm specifically going to hone in on 21. It says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps." God says example is important, and we are called to walk in the footsteps of Christ. God knew from the very beginning that this was the case. Our omniscient God knew that the best way to teach us, the best way for us to encode things, was by example. There's no doubt that teaching by example is important. So as Christian women, we need to take heed to all of our thoughts, to our actions, to our language, because example is We need to make sure that we're illustrating the most godly example always, because we're always being observed and possibly imitated by others. But most importantly, we're being observed by our Heavenly Father, who knows everything about us. Our example is an opportunity to glorify God and show our gratitude and love for Him by our obedience to Him. Our example also has an impact on the church. Weirdly, I'm kind of a nerd for stats. And I was looking at some studies, and there are a couple of studies and we can talk more if any of y'all have questions about where these sources are from. Results show that congregations that had good Bible teaching and, interestingly enough, good hospitality, a measure of good passive hospitality, those congregations grew by 18% over a 3-year period. I thought that was pretty substantial. When churches were marked with conflict, the results showed that church attendance decreased by 24% within a 3-year period. We can get into the nuts and bolts, if you will, of that study if you'll want to know. But another really key thing that stood out to me is that 61% of these people who were surveyed indicated that gossip within the congregation was a reason why these people opted to leave the congregation. That was just something that stood out strongly to me. Once again, I know I'm beating y'all over the head with this. Our example is important. Our individual relationships and the growth of they're important within our individual relationships and the growth of the church as a whole. God being them, omniscient, when knew that this was important, this is why our Bible, our word, is full of example after example. So on your note card, obviously it's two-sided. On the front side, I would like y'all to take maybe a minute or two and write down one positive example that has impacted you in some way. And it doesn't necessarily need to be within a church, just something positive that has impacted you. And then flip it and write down an example that has impacted you in a negative way. So I will give y'all about a minute to do that. Entertaining sons. One of those sons is a little avid this wall had these huge posters that had core values, maybe the university or maybe just the sports, like that particular sport altogether. On this one huge poster, the word integrity. Right below that word, it read, the ability to do what's right, even when nobody is watching. So I grabbed the two WT boys, and I stood them in front of that sign, and I made them read it out loud to me. I said, do you understand what that means? The ability to choose what's right, even when nobody is watching. Do we do that? I want to discuss this from a basic angle, but in order to teach by our example, I'm going to say that our example must be based on integrity. I already stated this, but one more time. If our behavior is not consistent with what we say, our words are going to be disregarded. We must choose to do what's right when we are in the church building, when we are at our homes, at our jobs, with our physical family, at the gym, at the school, when scrolling through social media late at night, when we pick a movie or a Netflix series to watch, when we turn on that radio, when we talk to friends who are Christians and our non-Christian friends, when we're out with ladies from college or when we're out with a group that are not Christians, that were our friends before we were Christians, when we're away from husbands or children, when we're driving to an appointment, we get cut off and we're late by a car. Are we choosing to do what's right in these endless examples? Are we showing integrity in all of these things by our actions? Can people see the integrity within us? I'm going to propose that in order to have an example that is composed of integrity, we need to have our mind, we need to have our heart in check. Because at the root of all of this, so if I had a whiteboard, right, our mind, our heart is right here. Around us is our example, and even beyond that is our influence. So the core of it is your heart. The core of it is what's going on in your mind. My husband and I are blessed with the opportunity to work at a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center. And honestly, they use this in the AA for the philosophy. I should have Googled where this came from. I should know this. There's a quote that reads, and I know a lot of you know this, your thoughts become your words, your words become your actions become your habits become your character, and your character is everything. So I'm going to extend that everything to say that your character, it becomes your example, and this example is what influences others, what draws others to try to get to heaven. Matthew 7:16-20 reads, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. By your example, people are going to know you. Who you are on the inside is going to be what you show to the world. But even beyond that, and even more importantly to that, it's going to be what God sees. Psalm 139:1-10, we were talking about David. Oh Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting up, my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. Does that scare you? It should. It should put some fear in you. It should make you want to really think about what's going on in the categories. It makes me really think about what I have in my heart. I need to make sure that it's in check at every given moment. In order for us to choose all the right things, we we must love God. We need to know, we all know, forgiving, that we need to work out our own salvation. Philippians 2:12 tells us that. We need to work out our own relationship with God. So for the young people in this room, I know that many of you are here because your parents brought you, but in time, I hope, I pray, that you all you college young ladies, it's an encouragement that y'all are here. Guess what? Most of y'all are here without your parents, and you're here. It's such an encouragement because I know by you being here, by your example, that you're working out your relationship with God, and that's such an encouragement to me. Again, let's go back to that visual diagram, right? The heart is in the middle. Here's your example. Beyond that is your influence. First, you need to love God. Deuteronomy 6:5, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Luke 10:27 takes that a baby step further. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and guess what? With all your mind. And your neighbor as thyself. We read the same in Mark 12:30. In order to submit to God, you need to love him. For example, when we quote scripture, do we actually believe it? Do we really understand what it's saying? Have we studied it? Have we implanted it in our hearts? When we have the opportunity to confess Christ, do we do it? Or do we kind of cower down because we're worried about being accepted in whatever group is that we're in? When we're outside of this building, are we actively choosing to do those things? 1 John 4, 7-12, I'm going to read 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Others are going to see our love of God through our actions. Your example is going to show your love for God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were all sinners, Christ died for us. Have you stopped to think about Jesus hanging on the cross and the suffering that he went through so we could have our gossiping washed away? So we can have our loss of control, or our angry words, our lying, our cheating, our manipulating, our one night of partying, our immodesty, maybe that one foul word we used, or the wrong music we decided to listen to, or the evil thoughts that we think from time to time, maybe. I pray that this is not the case. Maybe the evil thoughts that we have about another sister in this room. Have you thought about that? Jesus died, so you have the opportunity to get that washed away. That's impactful to me. For those of us who are mothers, can you imagine sending your child to the cross? And I know there's littles in here, but for those people who molest their babies, because I think about these things. I mean, we have to have the right heart. And I can't imagine sending my boys just to help, to give people the chance at eternity, the chance with our Heavenly Father. I mean, that's a selfless sacrifice. I talked to our boys about this. I literally talked to our boys about this. Because I want them to understand the implications. I want them to know what was given before they decide to make any choice. I know that they're humans and that they fall short. I fall short, guys. I want y'all to know this. I want you to keep it at your front conscience before you choose to do everything that you choose to do. Because guess what? What you choose to do is your example. 1 Peter 2:21, that reads, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example maybe a little rhetorically, maybe a little to be thought-provoking. Do you really love God? Are you waking up every morning and thanking Him for another day at whatever stage you're in your life? Are you in a conversation with Him throughout the day? Are you prioritizing Him and His people? You should be, because guess what? That's your example. And that's how you're glorifying Him and how you're going to impact those around you. If you're younger, I see a lot of sweet littles in here. Do you know that you can show your love for God by studying His Word and by praying and by obeying your parents? Do you know that your little example shines so bright? And I know this firsthand because I see all of you littles being like the most precious worker bees, and your example just motivates me to be a better example because y'all are so little and having an impact on me. If you're college age, this is kind of a hierarchy, if you will. If you're college age, you can obviously do all the things that I listed below, and you can add some extra things, right? You can add a check on your behavior. I'm harping on this a little bit, ladies, and I'm sorry about this, but are you dressing modestly at all times? Is your speech glorifying our Heavenly Father? Are you gossiping? Are you a talebearer? I recommend that we all take time to study each of these components so we all get the understanding that our Heavenly Father expects us to get, so we all know what His standard is, because His standard is the only standard. Are you being the best version of you? What are you doing with your time? How much time do you spend at school or in your studies or at your job or on social media or websites or watching whatever Netflix series is on? I ask these things because all of these things are going to impact your example. What if you've grown up in the church and you decide to go to the gym to work out, and you decide that your attire that day is going to be a sports bra and running shorts, and somebody at the gym sees you, and then one of your buddies brings that somebody that saw you at the gym up here up to worship on Sunday morning, and John Paul, I always say his first and last name, it's like so amazing. John Paul presents a lesson on modesty. And then that visitor sees you and was like, said, wait a second, isn't that the person that I saw at the gym? What impact is your example, your choice that you made, what impact is that example, your example going to have on that visitor? We need to make sure that we are glorifying God with every decision that we make. Side tangent, don't kill me, Amber and BJ. Are you busy looking at things that everybody else has, or what they're doing, or who they're with? Are you feeling left out? And are you finding yourself? And I say this a lot. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I say this to my daughter, BJ, all the time. I'm gonna poke some nerves, and I say this to myself for what it's worth. Everything I'm telling y'all, I've said to myself. Am I ever said to Amber? Are you in a pity pot? Are you in this woe is me mentality? I have some news for you guys. Stop situation. So as a whole, we can focus on being the best example by having the best mindset. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and I'm going to pick some key parts here. You're the light of the world, and you'll all know 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and that you may, newsflash, glorify your Father in heaven. Your good works are going to glorify your Father in heaven. When we enter married life, we sometimes experience some hardships. What are we doing with that? We need to be reminded that we made vows on our wedding day. Are we being the helpmeet to our husband that God would desire us to be? Are there times that we speak negatively about our husband to our friends or maybe around our children? I ask this because guess what? What kind of example, what kind of mindset are you putting on your husband or on to your friends or to their children? What are these kids going to be thinking of their dad if you're their mother, if you were speaking badly about your husband? What about being a young mom? Our spouse is working all the time and we're at home with kids a lot. We are going through some of the biggest changes of our lives. What's our attitude? Do we choose to stay home and not go to worship because it's just too hard that morning? We talked about this yesterday. Do we stop evangelizing because now we have a newborn? We did talk about yesterday we can take our kids with us. I do also want to say that everybody has a season, and somebody said this to me over 20 years ago. We all have a season, and we can't do everything that we want to do based on, it's going to be based on the time of life that we're in. So please don't take this as me kind of beating you all down. I just want these things to be thought-provoking to you all and maybe to encourage you. Those choices we make are our example. We need to make every effort to do what is godly because in this specific case, our husband, our children, our friends who are other young mothers are impacted by our example. What about the teenagers in this room? Not necessarily college age or college age as well. What are you doing with your time? What is your example? What about us moms of teenagers? Have we let the busyness of the world overtake us? What are we letting our kids watch and listen to? That's something that I personally, like literally right now, I'm struggling with. I am fighting my boys not only to make the right choices, but just to have the confidence, to have the courage to speak up in those situations. What are y'all filling your head with, young ladies? Because guess what? What you're filling your head with is going to reflect in your example. For us moms, are we missing worship because there's a sporting event or a school event that's a little more important? Are our kids talking back to us? Are they fighting amongst each other? If that's the case, I ask for us to take a look at ourselves. Look at our relationship with our husband. What example is it that we're putting on to our kiddos? Are we the kind of parent that keeps things from our husband because we want to spare our children a wrath? What are we teaching our children? Sometimes I know for ourselves, we're so focused on making the outward appearance of our children so right? We want them to be these little perfect angels, these little robots that do everything right. And we lose perspective on focusing on their heart. We need to make sure that their heart knows why we want these actions to be the case. So our outer behavior is a reflection of what is going on in our heart, and this in turn is the example. What about people who are grandparents or elderly or empty nesters? Are you taking time to teach younger women as we're instructed to do in Titus 2, 3 through 5? Are you trying to help younger college kids or maybe moms with young children? Can you maybe send a text or card of encouragement to them? Can you meet them for coffee? Or maybe for those young moms who have toddlers or newborns, can you possibly just surprise them and tell them you're taking a meal over to them? Can you teach a ladies' class or pick up a teenager that isn't necessarily your family and take them to serve with you? I personally love this group of ladies. I love spending time with them because they're so wise and have so many just amazing stories of goodness. These stories motivate me. I just want all this sector of our group here to know just how important you are to all of us and how impactful your example is to everyone. And all of these examples I just listed, attitudes and actions that we display, we have a choice. I hope our choice always displays our love for God. Because remember, at the end of the day, our thoughts become our words, words become habits, forgive me, words become actions, actions become habits, habits become character, character becomes example. Remember, we're extending that. Example, everything, it becomes everything, it becomes our example. Then our example, in turn, becomes our influence. The influence that we're going to have to the world around us. Are all of those things reflective of God, of what Christ would be pleased with? One thing that I found for myself and for some of my friends is we tend to struggle with our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 reads, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Then I couple that with Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there's any virtue, or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Be selective of what you're choosing to fill your head with, and meditate only on the goodness, on the godliness of everything. Because remember, these scriptures are going to directly impact our example, and our example should only reflect integrity, right? That integrity is composed by our love for God. So now on your note card, I want you to take a minute just to write down if either the good example or bad example may have been impacted, and it may have been directly correlated to something that showed integrity or something that showed a lack of integrity. Yes, ma'am. So on your note card, I want you to take it a step further, read the examples that you wrote, determine whether or not it showed, it was it based on something that exemplified integrity, was this goodness, in other words, godliness, or was there a lack of integrity within it? Maybe integrity wasn't even correlated to it at all. That's what, yeah.
You don't have a minute. Keep going, girl.
Okay, guys. I'm going to keep going. I can't believe it. I timed this. Okay, I'm going to keep going, guys. Example is invitation. Okay, this is the last thing. Example is invitation. We need to, 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes, "Imitate me just as I imitated Christ." Then in, forgive me, guys. In Ephesians 5:1-2, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as our dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, offering to be a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." As Christians, we are called to be the salt. We're called to be the light of the world. In order for us to be an example that is worthy of imitation, we have a choice to make. Are we going to imitate godliness and goodness, or are we going to imitate something that is of the world? I urge you to read Matthew 5:13-16, specifically there. Obviously, they're talking about being the light of the world and being the salt. We have a choice to make. Do we want to imitate Jesus, or do we want to imitate that of the world? Obviously, the fact of the matter is, first and foremost, our imitation is that of Jesus. I wanted to talk to y'all briefly about one set of scriptures that I go to very frequently, and we touched on that yesterday, is Proverbs 31. We read about the virtuous wife in Proverbs 31, and we know that this lady is selfless. We read in verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but the woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This woman is not idle. She is a worker. She is constantly striving to be the example that God has set her out to be. And within that, she's glorifying her Heavenly Father, but she's also bringing glory to her husband. Now, the opposite of that we can choose to imitate is the world. 1 John 2:15 through 16. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of flesh, lust of eyes, pride of life, life is not of the Father, but of the world. Paul warns us to be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil isn't always obvious, right? He has very subtle ways to attack us. We need to take heed to this and decide, where do we want our imitation to be? Who is it that we want to imitate? Do we want to imitate godliness, or do we want to imitate things of the world? We need to take heed to that and be super mindful when we're thinking about those things. I'm going super fast, guys. I'm sorry. Finally, example is influence. One of the quotes I read was from Albert Einstein. Setting an example is not the main means in influencing others, it's the only means. Once again, God knows this. God knows that our influence is going to have Jesus' influence, had a profound impact on us, obviously, right? We have the opportunity to take our influence and bring glory to our Heavenly Father. And we read in 1 Peter 3:1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they are without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. Here we read that wives can have influence on their husbands. They can melt the heart of their husbands. But we as Christians can, it's not only limited to that. We can do that to our friends, to our neighbors, to our enemies. 1 Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among they that may by your good works which they observe glorify God. Christians, like the salt that we discussed earlier, we have the opportunity to be this warming influence, to warm the hearts of everybody around us so that we may bring them to a position so that they're able to receive the gospel. Also, very, very briefly, I want y'all to just take heed to those. Think about who you're going to surround yourself with. We are warned about bad influences in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. There's another worldly quote. You show me who your friends are, and I will tell you your future. The people who are around you are going to have influence on you. I implore you to choose those people who you spend time with wisely. Okay, there was a lot more that I was hoping to cover. I'm not going to hit all that. I'm going to give a brief conclusion, then I'm going to very quickly just list some practical things. Hope that y'all understand that example is extremely important. It was important to God's eyes. In God's eyes, He knew this is the best way for us to learn. Our Bibles is filled with countless examples. It's important. Your example is important. Secondly, our example must be based on integrity. You must be choosing to do the right thing even when nobody is watching, because guess what? God's watching. And we need to take heed to that and realize that that's what's important. Our example must be based off of integrity. Then we need to choose, who is it that we want to imitate? Do we want to imitate godliness, goodness, or do we want to imitate the world? Finally, our example is going to impact those around us so that they are more receptive to receive the gospel. Make sure that your